Hi, I'm Paul Riley, and this is a bonus episode of Legendary Adventures, a Legend of Zelda playthrough podcast. This is the final episode for Season 6, which is all about Majora's Mask. I felt a few extra episodes at the end would be helpful in giving me the time I needed to play through and prepare for Season 7 on Oracle of Ages. Majora's Mask is only the second game in the Zelda series not to be placed in Hyrule. Instead, we explore and save Termina. But have you ever wondered where Termina is? The answer has become surprisingly tricky and even a little controversial. Link reaches Termina by first chasing the Skull Kid through the Lost Woods. Then he falls down a massive hollow tree in a scene that gives me real Alice in Wonderland vibes. Once through the tree, things get stranger when Link walks down a twisting hallway to reach the Clock Tower at the center of Clock Town. In Clock Town and in other parts of Termina, Link meets people who look like the people he met in Hyrule during Ocarina of Time. But with perhaps one or two exceptions, these are not the same people. As far as those exceptions go, we of course have the Happy Mask Salesman. We first meet him in his shop in Hyrule Castle Town. The Mask Salesman traveled to Termina while also in pursuit of the Skull Kid, who mugged him and stole Majora's Mask. Another, I think, unclear possible exception is the owl Kaipora Gabora. We meet the owl only twice on the adventure through Termina, once in the swamp and once in the mountains. The owl does not necessarily act like it knows Link, but the owl itself is an enigmatic figure who could just be acting obtuse. And by extension, Link has traveled back in time to his childhood, so it could just be that the owl hasn't met Link all that much at this point. Anyway, let's get back to the question. Where is Termina? The Zelda Encyclopedia, published by Dark Horse Comics in 2017, offered this explanation. When Skull Kid steals Majora's Mask from the traveling mask salesman, the combination of the Skull Kid's burdened heart and the evil magic within Majora's Mask transforms the world into the land of Termina. Termina is a parallel world with its own distinct culture, which is perhaps influenced by Majora's ancient tribe. This land is also inhabited by races and individuals similar to those found in Hyrule, which were constructed from the Skull Kid's memories and delusions. While the hero's pure heart allows the world of Termina to momentarily revel in its salvation, as soon as he departs, the world ceases to exist. Having learned his lesson, the Skull Kid makes amends with his friends, the Giants, and thus the world in his heart also finds peace and is able to greet the dawn of a new day. So, there you have it, but man, I really don't like that explanation, and it strikes me as being a somewhat controversial take within the fan community. The implication is that Majora's Mask happens in sort of a dream world, not unlike Link's Awakening. I don't feel the game itself implies any such thing, but I did try to think up a few moments that may support this idea. Here's what I came up with. When we meet the owl in the swamp, he does say, "It's lost its guardian deity, and was destined to fade away." He adds, "That destiny is not solely limited to this swamp." That little snippet alone could be interpreted in a way that supports the write-up in Zelda Encyclopedia. On the other hand, the fading away could just be referring to the falling of the moon and the death of everyone in Termina, not a literal fading away. In addition, the owl mentions that he placed the owl statues throughout Termina to aid the one with the power to change the destiny of this land. So if Link is to change the destiny of Termina, that seems to imply the fading away mentioned by the owl can be averted. So I don't think it really supports this interpretation that's in the Zelda Encyclopedia, which states clearly that Termina fades away as soon as Link leaves. How about the Happy Mask Salesman? He moves erratically with no frames in between his key poses. And when he finally says goodbye to Link at the end, he just fades away into thin air. That seems pretty dreamlike, doesn't it? And yeah, I could see it being interpreted that way. But it doesn't seem to be the intention of the developers. Cutscene director Takumi Kawagoe cited the Woody Allen movie Husbands and Wives as the inspiration for the Happy Mask Salesman's movements. I've never watched this movie, but looking at clips on YouTube, it becomes clear the movie was shot entirely on handheld, with deliberately shaky camera work and editing that was done deliberately to create an off-kilter tone. It's the same here with the Happy Mass Salesman. His movements are more about vibes than lore. But he fades away, what about that? Well, I don't have a specific example of a character fading away, but we did see Soraya fade in when she was saying goodbye to Link at the beginning of Ocarina of Time. Whether this was an intentional decision to add to the vibes of the game or was a graphical limitation, I can't say. What I can say is that the Mass Salesman is intended to be off-kilter, and the fade out doesn't necessarily mean that he is in an illusionary world and then leaving. After all, we've seen fading in Hyrule as well. Also in 2015, while speaking to Eiji Aonuma, Game Informer suggested that Termina might be a dream world. They pointed to the inclusion of a song by the Zora band, the Indiegogos, the Ballad of the Windfish. The song shares a name with the main theme of Link's Awakening, and Link's Awakening famously takes place within a dream world. Does that mean the song is intended to suggest that Termina takes place in a dream world? Aonuma more or less said no. He said, for us, really, it was just a playful choice that referenced a previous game and nothing more than that. So we've seen what the encyclopedia says. What do other sources say? The game manual refers to Termina as a kind of parallel world that is similar and yet different to the land of Hyrule. Likewise, the Nintendo Power Player's Guide refers to Termina as a parallel world. But then again, so did the Zelda Encyclopedia. But it still also implied that Termina was a dream world that will fade away. So, what do the developers have to say? Well, for Shigeru Miyamoto, he seemed to think that the world of Majora's Mask was best described by comparisons to Toy Story 2. Let me explain. In a July 2000 interview with Nintendo Power, Zelda co-creators Takashi Tezuka and Miyamoto were asked why Majora's Mask was set in a parallel world. Tezuka said, "There were a number of characters in Ocarina of Time that we wanted to describe more fully. We didn't have the means to do it in Ocarina, but in Majora's Mask we do because players have the opportunity to meet every character in the game and learn more about them." Miyamoto then said, "After seeing Toy Story 2, I realized that Majora's Mask uses a similar technique as the sequel. We focused on some minor characters from the original in order to expand the world." Okay, so according to them, Termina is a place that gives players a chance to get to know the characters of Ocarina of Time in a deeper way, but it doesn't really say anything about whether Termina is a dreamlike or illusionary realm, does it? So let's take a look at what Eiji Aonuma had to say. Speaking to Nintendo Dream in 2015, Aonuma said that the name Termina comes from the word terminal, as it means a place where people come and go. Terminal became Termina. In February of 2015, GameSpot asked how Majora's Mask fits into the world of Hyrule. Aonuma said, "It's difficult to talk about how Termina fits into Hyrule because it's almost like it's another dimension. When I think about the very beginning of Majora's Mask, I like to think about the characters as already being in Termina at that point." Speaking to Game Informer that same year, Aonuma said, "You know, we described it as being a nearby land, but in feel it's almost like another dimension. Even though these characters have a similar appearance to the version of them that appeared in Ocarina, they express something different in a different world." So there you have it. Aonuma's comments don't seem definitive either, but he suggests that Termina is like an alternate dimension. And he shot down the suggestion that the Ballad of the Windfish song was included to suggest that Termina is a dream world like Link's Awakening. He said it's merely a fun reference. This is in addition to the early game materials like the manual, the player's guide, and even early interviews that all use the term parallel world for Termina. Those statements all came before the encyclopedia was printed, so I suppose one could argue that the encyclopedia is a retcon that supersedes other explanations for Termina. Though the encyclopedia does note that its writers added their own interpretations and expanded upon the game's stories. It also says the events described are subject to revision. So for me, I don't personally like the interpretation presented in the encyclopedia. I don't think it's backed up by the game, or by Aonuma's statements, or by the game manual, or the player's guide, or any of those other things. For me, the answer for where is Termina is that it's a parallel world to Hyrule in another dimension. It's a real space. But let me know what you think. Up next, we're going to dive into the next game in the series, The Legend of Zelda: Oracle of Ages. If you've enjoyed this episode and you want to follow along, please subscribe. If you've already subscribed, thanks. I'm glad that you like what I'm doing with this podcast. I am Paul Riley, and I will see you next week. But wait, there are a few things that I found that I haven't mentioned yet, and that probably aren't worth spinning out into their own episode. So here's a quick lightning round of bits that I thought were interesting and that I almost included in some of my earlier episodes, but ultimately left out. In his September 2000 article on Nintendo Power, English scriptwriter Jason Lung described the translation and localization process. First, Nintendo's Bill Trunin did a direct translation from Japanese to English. Then Lung would rework the script to make it more natural in English and add some personality. After Lung completed his script, he traveled to Japan to work directly with the Zelda team. He wrote, "To make sure none of my text veers too far from the original, Mr. Goto is translating my script line by line to Mr. Takano. After Mr. Takano tells me what he thinks, Mr. Goto then translates the feedback back to me, and I make the necessary changes. Usually it's just a matter of semantics. The Japanese word aunt is a synonym for middle-aged woman. Luckily, we caught the mistake, so now the mayor's wife isn't already related to her future daughter-in-law." In the Japanese version of the game, the Zora Band is called Daru Baru. I attempted to run that name through Google Translate, and I got no translation. But the Zelda Wiki suggests the translation is Dull Blue. In his article, Lung writes, "The Zora Rock Band was almost named Blue Swamp. This is a nod to Eiji Aonuma. His last name translates to Blue Swamp." Ultimately, Lung settled on Indiegogo, another play on the word blue. One of the most famous Easter eggs in Majora's Mask is said to be a nod to Star Fox. On the second row on the mask menu screen, there are masks of a fox, a bird, a bunny, a frog, and a pig in a row in that order. This is often said to be a reference to the original Star Fox team from Star Fox 64. In 2015, GameSpot asked Aonuma if that was intentional. He said, "You know, as it turns out, I think the ordering of those masks on the N64 version might have been entirely coincidence. As we progress through the game's development, they just lined up that way. Or I guess the other possibility is that someone did it on purpose, but they didn't tell me about it." While working to reunite Anju and Kafei, Link is given the Keaton mask by the curiosity shop owner. The mask has the appearance of a fox, and it's used to find Keatons, magical fox-like creatures with three tails. In some areas, like North Clocktown, players will encounter grass that seems to dance if any of it is cut. The dancing grass marks the location of the Keatons. With the mask on, a Keaton will appear to Link and give him a trivia challenge. If the players can correctly answer 5 questions, he will be awarded a piece of heart. Composer Koji Kondo said director Eiji Aonuma was largely hands-off when it came to the musical direction of Majora's Mask. But when speaking to GameSpot in 2014, Kondo said there was at least one instance when Aonuma weighed in on the musical direction of the game. He said, "There was one area where a fox was dancing, or something like a fox, where the director came up and said, 'I'd actually like this to feel more Japanese.' The feeling that the director was getting from what he was seeing on screen was different from the impression that I got. So I went back and I looked at the scene, and I understood more what he wanted after that, so I redid the music." In 2015, Eiji Aonuma was asked by Game Informer if milk from Romani Ranch tastes different from milk from Lon Lon Ranch. He said, "I wonder if they would be different. Well, since these two worlds are different, I would expect that the flavor of the milk in each world would be a little different." Finally, Game Informer also asked what would happen if you ate a Deku Nut. He said, "This is the sort of thing that's capable of emitting a really big flash when it hits the ground, so it's probably not something anyone should try to eat. I wouldn't recommend it." Okay, for real this time, I'm Paul Riley, and this is Legendary Adventures Podcast. I hope you have a great day. Bye!